mouse took a stroll through the deep, dark wood. A fox saw the mouse, and the mouse looked good. He was listening to a podcast by two imbeciles, and they're here for you now. Welcome to the Literal Literature Podcast. My name is Howard Greater. I'm here. It's really, really great to talk to you people. How the hell have you been? Great! With me is a man. A man who you might know by the name of Umbach McClure. But you'd be wrong, because his name's Sam Sheldon. Hello.
Hello. Umbach McClure here. Good to be with you all. How are you, Howard? How's it going?
Ooh, that's a loaded question, isn't it, Sam?
It's a loaded question.
I'd say broadly fine at the moment. I had if we're going to be honest on this podcast, and I feel that we should, I've had a bit of a crisis in the past sort of week that I'm now getting very much over. But yeah, big strong anxiety issues that I've had for a number of years, but they came to a rather ugly head. It's fucking horrible. I mean, you know, being locked down and situations changing and all that stuff. I mean,
I was going to say, it's probably something a lot of people can relate to right now.
Well, yeah, yeah.
During these times. That,
something just happened. Something snapped. And, that sounds like it's really dire. And it's not. There were 4 days of like, genuine hell. And now, now I've got a handle on it.
That sounds really dire. But no, it's just 4 days of genuine hell. That's all it was.
Well, I mean, I don't want to sugarcoat it, Sam. It was fucking terrible. But now, now I've got a bit of perspective and I feel pretty good.
This is good.
So I guess if there is anyone listening out there with anxiety problems, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Things change. Everything gets better. And most importantly, you are okay. How are you, Sam?
Oh, mate, I'm all right. Just as we were saying before we started recording, have a bit of a tingle in the throat. A bit of that Rona fear creeps in a little bit. Uh-oh, have I caught the lurgy? You know, the lurgy kills you now, which is great.
Yeah.
That's good fun.
Although we're getting better at it. There's a vaccine, apparently.
Apparently.
Do you know what, right? You watch the news and they talk about the vaccine, right? It doesn't feel real, does it?
No. It's this long, far-off, distant thing, which they're like, it's coming, but it's not. But it's coming. It's here, but it's not.
I liken it to when the coronavirus first started happening, like in sort of like February, March time, where we're all like, Oh, is it killing people? Oh, it sounds... What? We got it from a bat? This is silly. It's like a movie. It's not happening. Oh, my grandmother's dead. Everything's gone to shit. And it's the same now. It's like, oh, really? Oh, we're all going to be able to talk again soon, are we? Oh, we'll be able to cuddle in pubs by June. I don't believe you. Nothing feels real anymore, you know?
I was going to say, like, the one piece of news that came through, which I really enjoyed, was the guy, I think he works, the head guy on the Pfizer vaccine, who said, don't worry, we'll have a normal winter next year. I was like, oh, bloody hell. It's like, it's here, but it's not. You got to have to keep on trucking up until next year will be the good winter. Next year will be the all right winter. Just get through this one, you know.
I mean, yeah, it's not like a magic fucking wand, is it? I guess we are going
well
to sort of hunker down and get through it. But I think...
These doctors need to get off their chuff, Howard. I'm sick of waiting, okay?
Yeah, they haven't... Actually, I don't think the NHS have quite done enough through this period.
If Amazon can get me a package in 24 hours, these guys can bloody get me a vaccine right now, please.
Yeah, I clapped for you every Thursday.
For those of you who don't live in the UK, we did have for how many weeks was it? Was it 7, I think it ended up being? Maybe 8? Basically, it started out as a very like a goodwill thing of like clapping people who work in the NHS and key worker roles, and then after about week 4, the British sensibility kicked in. Everyone sort of felt like it was becoming a bit sarcastic. should we keep doing this? I don't know if we should keep doing this. And it even got to the point where I think even by about week 7, you could see politicians and stuff standing out front of 10 Downing Street, looking a little bit weary of doing it anymore. it was very odd.
The thing is that very quickly the shine rubbed off it when you had like Boris Johnson stepping out of number 10, clapping, all the while like voting for fucking nurses to not get a pay rise. It's like, thanks very much for your applause, Boris.
I could really do with some more cash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What's the point? You're like, it's just a facade. It's bollocks.
But no, we're not clapping anymore. But we thank you, NHS workers. Thank you.
Yeah. Tar. Well, I am. Yeah. Cheers. I do mean that. Sam.
Hello.
Maybe you should just quickly explain what we do here on this podcast. We haven't done that in a while, have we?
I know.
Is there any new listeners?
If you are new, this isn't a news-based podcast. Sorry for that little
topical comedy.
We here at Literal Literature take famous book titles and turn them into our own very silly, hopefully funny, parody radio plays, more often than not based on a pun.
Completely
of that
based
title.
On a pun of the title, yeah. And, because we're very, very intelligent. And this week, I charged old Sam from the foothills of Australia or something to write a tale based on the Anthony Burgess classic. Oh. There's a lot of waffle in it. There's a lot of flim flam and jib jabs and the old in and out. It's A Clockwork Orange. How did you find it?
This was, well, Howard, I in the process of writing this, I came across a very real condition. It's something that affects not 100% of the population, but people, they can be affected by it from time to time. It's called writer's block, and I would really like to just really highlight this. So please call 1-800-BRAINFART to make a donation to those of us who have been suffering from writer's block, because I sure have been the past couple of weeks suffering from that, Howard.
Right.
Good and of course the Lord, this was difficult to write.
Yeah. Well, the terrifying thing about writer's block is that one of the symptoms is a complete loss of taste and smell, which obviously must have worried you. But luckily, you got through it. So you struggled with it, did you?
I did. Well, I mean, listening
back
to it.
What do you think? Is it something to do with the title that I gave you? Were you unhappy with the title?
No, it wasn't that. It was just one of those things.
You're allowed
to
be.
How many episodes are we in now? This is episode 23, 24. That's 24 weeks of stuff. I know every second episode is our general chit chat, but even for that, we're writing, you know, quizzes and researching things.
Yeah.
So I just think it was just a 23 week brain fry.
That's completely fair.
I think that's what it was, because I was quite excited to tackle it, and I thought the idea I came up with was fine enough, and I think it still works okay.
Yeah.
It's just it ended up being, worn-out brain.
Also, we're back at work now, essentially, aren't we, both of us?
Yeah.
You work at Battersea Dogs Home, and we're really grateful for all the work that you do. I'm about to go on tour, and I've got to learn lines, and I've got to there's all sorts of things to do. I don't want everyone to sort of, oh, woe is Howard, he's got stuff to do. But we've got less time to fuck around with these things, and it takes a lot. So
it does.
I've read it. I've done my little parts for it. I really thought it was good fun. Actually, so don't beat yourself up, Sam. I liked it.
Thank you. Well, should we give it out, dish it out, throw it out?
Whoa, blimey, there are a lot of outs there. But basically, I think, Sam, that you should let us all in to the mind of Sheldon and introduce your little play.
All right, well, we'll come here, everyone. Come here. No, over here. No, you're going the wrong way. Come here, everyone. Come a bit closer. Here we go. Okay. Let me let you in on a little secret, okay? Let me let you in on a little secret. You're about to listen to my... I don't know what I'm doing, Howard. I've gone down a direction that I didn't necessarily want to go down.
I'm not sure this is working, Sam.
No, neither do I. So here it is, everyone. Here is my version of A Clockwork Orange.
Sorry, everyone.
It is the year 1879, and the town of Menlo Park, New Jersey, was abuzz with excitement over the announcement of a new invention from Thomas Edison.
I heard it's a new kind of bicycle.
I heard it's a knife that cuts three different things at once.
Yeah, I heard it's a cat mincer.
What?
A cat mincer.
What the hell is a cat mincer?
It's pretty self-explanatory, really. It's a machine that minces up cats.
But why would anyone invent that? That's just horrible.
That's sick.
Hey, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just passing on what I heard. Not my fault that Thomas Edison wants to mince cats. Allegedly.
Excuse me. I don't mean to pry, but did you just say Thomas Edison?
Meet Jimmy Edison, Thomas Edison's unknown younger brother. Jimmy, like his older brother, was an inventor, though not a very good one.
Yeah, that's right, Thomas Edison, the famous inventor.
Oh, well, I don't know if you could call him famous.
You could also say there was a bit of healthy sibling rivalry at play.
Oh, no, he is famous.
Oh, let's agree to disagree.
Who are you, anyway?
I'm Jimmy Edison, Thomas's younger brother, but you probably already heard about me.
No.
Okay.
Do you also mince cats?
What?
Never mind all that. Come along, everyone. We have an invention unveiling to get to.
After working away for years on his invention, Thomas Edison was finally ready for it to be unveiled.
Ladies and gentlemen, now, I know there's been a lot of speculation as to what my latest invention would be. I, for one, am humbled to know that you all take such a keen interest in my work. Before it is unveiled, there is one thing I would like to clear up. I have not been working on a cat mincing machine. These rumors are false and, quite frankly, just odd. I mean, a cat mincing machine? What the hell, guys? Anyway, today, ladies and gentlemen, I give you my latest invention. The light bulb!
Oh my goodness.
It's a miracle!
How did you make this happen?
Are you the second coming of Christ?
It's magic, I tell you. It's pure magic!
Now, everyone, if you all just calm down for a second, I can tell you the scientific process behind doing...
Miracle worker! Miracle worker!
Everyone, please, just calm down.
It's just so amazing!
We gotta tell the world!
Come on, everyone, let's go!
Everyone, wait! Oh, never mind.
Hey, brother.
Huh? Who are you?
It's me, Tommy. Your brother, Jimmy. Jimmy Edison.
Oh, my goodness. Jimmy, it's been so long.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, it's a nice invention you've got there. Creating light from pretty much nothing. Very impressive. Who are you? God or something?
Well, they sure seem to think so. Oh, how are you, anyway? Have you been inventing anything recently?
I've been inventing. You know me, always inventing.
Amazing. What is it?
It's a secret.
Well, this is mighty exciting.
Excuse me, sorry, gentlemen, I don't mean to pry, but did I just overhear that the brother of Thomas Edison is also an inventor who is currently developing an invention? This is big! This is front page news big!
I'm sorry, but who are you?
Why, I'm a journalist, of course! See?
Makes sense.
And sure enough, the story of the Edison brother was front page news the next day.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Edison brother is also inventing an invention. Extra, extra.
Oh, Jimmy, you've really done it this time. What the heck am I going to invent?
Oh, hey, Jimmy, how are you today? Saw the news today about you inventing something. Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, thanks, Fred. Have you got any tobacco in today?
I'm afraid not, Jimmy. Been a lot of holdups with deliveries today. All I have in are oranges and clocks. 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 Jimmy, are you okay? You seem pretty deep in thought.
Yeah, Fred, I'm gonna take all those clocks and oranges you have.
And so Jimmy Edison set to work on his invention. He worked and he worked and he worked. And the people waited and waited and waited. Until the day finally arrived. The day of the big unveiling. The town was once again abuzz with excitement over the new invention.
I heard it's a book that reads itself.
I heard it's false teeth made out of real teeth.
I heard it's a...
Oh, not you again.
What?
What is it this time? A puppy masher?
No.
A parrot launcher?
Some sort of weird sex thing? Come on, out with it, you sicko.
What's wrong with you people? I was going to say something nice, like a flavored soap or something. But oh no, just because I heard a rumor about a cat mincer last time, everyone thinks I'm some sort of weirdo.
Oh, look, wish...
No, no, I see how it is. Well, I guess that's it then. Nobody likes me. I'm doomed to live a life of eternal loneliness.
Oh, come on now. You didn't mean it.
Yeah. Hey, how about we all go to the unveiling together, huh? What do you say?
You mean it?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, thanks, you guys. That means a lot.
Let's go then.
I have to say, I did like that puppy masher idea.
Come on, man. I'm so excited. I can't wait to find out what's going on here. It's going to be a great day. I love it. I really love inventions. I sure do love inventions.
Oh, so what do you think he's going to invent? What do you think it is? Well, it's such a... I can feel the tension in the goddamn air. I'm so excited.
Well, I heard Thomas Edison's made lots of inventions. Did something to do with sound he did, and I think he made a wheel that was in the shape of like a face or something. And then he made like a bunk bed, but there were three, like a triple bunk bed. And you could put all your animals in the middle one, because you know, there was like a some plastic lining, so the animals wouldn't shit and piss on your firstborn. That was good.
I just can't wait to see what this man has. Oh, I'm so excited. My God. Oh, have you ever been this excited for anything in your goddamn life? There's such a big crowd. I love it. It's the 1870s and everything's great.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for coming here today.
Yeah, come on.
Woo. Thank you. Now I know you're all very excited to see what I've created.
Inventions!
And hey, I'm excited to show you all what I've made.
What is it? What is it?
Who here likes oranges?
I do. I like oranges.
And, who here likes clocks?
I love clocks! I love clocks so fucking much!
Okay, wow. Well, don't you just hate how you can't have a clock and an orange together?
What?
I think he's talking about an orange clock, which I would love so fucking much!
Well, never think about it again, because ladies and gentlemen, I give you a clockwork orange!
It just looks like a regular orange.
That's because it is a regular orange, but with clock parts inside.
I hate it! I hate it so fucking much!
Oh, come now, everyone. It's not that bad, is it?
Boo.
Everyone?
Boo.
Oh, please
Boo.
Stop!
No, no, everyone, please calm down.
It's him!
The Jesus Light Man!
Come now, everyone. You should all be ashamed of yourselves. Jimmy here was just trying his hardest to invent, to be creative, to build something from nothing. Sure, the idea of a clockwork orange is fucking ridiculous, and sure, if I were him right now, I would be so embarrassed that I would never show my face in public again. But he tried. He tried and failed, but he tried. But you know what? I feel inspired. I think I might invent some mango eyeglasses.
I might make a bookmark banana.
I'll make a chocolate chimney.
This went on for quite a while. Although it seemed as though this was done in good humor, Jimmy couldn't help but feel as though they were all taking the piss. And so, everyone in the small town of Menlo Park, New Jersey, carried on with their lives. The townspeople kept on gossiping.
I heard it's a handlebar for your mustache.
Jimmy Edison continued on as the town laughingstock.
Hey, Jimmy, I'm gonna invent, I'm gonna invent an,
Yeah, good one, pal.
No, wait. I'm gonna invent an,
In your own time.
A brickwork pie. Do you get it? The brickwork.
Good one. Really great.
And Thomas Edison kept on inventing.
It's called an accumulator, a more efficient form of rechargeable battery.
Amazing. I wonder what would happen if I licked this end right here.
No, don't!
Oh, my tongue! My tongue!
The end. Yeah. I'm so sorry, everybody. I've got no one to blame but myself. And I just don't know what to say. I told you, writer's block and editor's block by the sounds of things.
No. So it was quite short.
I mean, yeah. It's 13 and a half minutes. It's probably one of the shorter ones we've done.
It had a beginning. It had a middle. And you shouldn't be... I mean, those are two great things. I don't have a brother that's an inventor, do you?
Listen, to
find something. Yeah, go on.
Look, I tried, Howard. Yeah, and that's all I can say is that I tried.
And really, that's the moral of the story, isn't it?
It is. That is the whole point of the story. I am Jimmy Edison. And I was Jimmy Edison. But you also were. In life, I'm Jiddy.
Jiddy.
I'm Jimmy Edison.
No, look, now, all joking aside, It was a perfectly lovely little yarn, wasn't it?
Yeah, look, it was little, like, we hit 13 and a half minutes only because I added so much filler that what would probably have been maybe about 11:20, if I'm generous.
Oh, yeah, bone to pick, actually, Sam. There's a there's a part in this story, right, where I
I know what you're going
to say. I recorded a series of, like, crowd noises that I thought would just, that you would just pick and choose to blend into a sort of crowd scene.
It's way too much work. Why would I do that?
What you actually did was just put it all out, my mad kind of chattings.
You can, yeah, tell you what, Howard. Tell you what, I'll do you a favor, yeah? I'll give you a co-writer's credit for this one. You can send it out there. Tell everybody, hey everybody, I co-wrote this. You can tell all the producers, all the big Hollywood bigwigs.
Would it be all right if you didn't do that?
Out, I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to set you up. I know some people. We'll get the word out there. Don't worry. Don't worry, mate. I've got you hooked up. Don't worry.
Well, look, we warned the listeners that as we got more busy, the already poor quality would drop. And I think we were right to do that warning. And I've got one coming up next week, and I doubt it'll be better than this one. So really, you know, I think we should all just pat ourselves down, dust ourselves off, and just sort of chalk this up as a misstep. I'm joking.
Wow. I did not think it would go that far.
No, I know. I felt bad about it.
Good.
But I'm trying to be like fun and jibey with you, and then I feel bad about it.
I take that all to heart, Howard, because, you know, this is my baby, Howard. I've been working on this for weeks.
It's your magnum opus, yeah.
Oh, good Lord. Like I said,
there's some funny bits in it. Listen, it was funny. It was funny.
Look, it is what it is. When I finished editing it the other day, or was it yesterday, and I was like, look, it is what it is. I could maybe fiddle around with it a bit more, but really, what's it going to do?
It's kind of its own sort of unique work of art, isn't it?
It is. You know, if you just leave
the nuts and bolts out there like that, it's almost sort of Turner Prize-winning nonsense. it's a good concept. Thomas Edison had a sort of dinky younger brother who wasn't very good at editing.
Freudian slip, my Lord.
who wasn't good at inventing. Wasn't good at inventing. Great premise. A Clockwork Orange. You know, I'm...
It's what you made.
I don't know what else to say. We've got to do another one of these. And
we
talk,
do.
And we've got a deep dive that soon.
So should we just leave this as it is and we'll deep dive?
I think so, yeah.
We've got to let this digest a bit, I think. I think we've got to let what happened just sort of permeate a bit and we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Sort of take the cork out, let it air. no, don't. Of course I'm joking, Sam. I really liked it. I thought it was good fun.
Thank you. It's just balmy, silly, classic Sam Sheldon.
Yeah. It's an excuse to do silly voices, which I love.
Exactly.
My favourite thing in the world. I think we're quite American heavy on our stories. I wonder if we tallied up how many are American.
That's a good point, yeah.
I quite like doing English ones just because, I don't know why, but often I'm drawn to American vibes. Like my first ever one was American, but it's a great American novel, Moby Dick. We don't need to talk about Moby Dick. It was a really long time ago.
Look, Howard, as a palate cleanser, do you want to know what your next project is?
I rather think I do, actually.
All right, Howard. I'm going mainstream for you. I'm going. Ooh. We're gonna get, you know, tickle the mainstream.
Okay, lovely.
Don't know what's happening. We're going fantasy. We're going a Game of Thrones.
Oh my God, Sam.
That's right, Howard. Pressure's on, because this is a popular... We could be bringing in millions of listeners with this one.
Just think of the listenership. As we talk about realms and fucking night crawlers and bim bam boozles and jib jabs and all the other bollocks from that fucking show.
So there you go. So, yes.
Wow. Great.
Bring the thunder.
What can I do with that? A Game of Thrones. A Game of Thrones. Perhaps it will be toilet based.
Could be. Musical chairs, like an epic game of musical chairs, maybe.
Yeah. Gung, gung, gung. The whole world. Doing a Game of game of musical chairs game. oh well, that's exciting. I'll certainly give that a good bash.
Amazing.
Yes, it's going to be difficult to having never watched the show. It's going to be difficult to.
I didn't know that.
I think it's fucking appalling.
Wow.
I did try. I've watched two episodes. They were desperately dull. I don't like realms too much, you know.
Oh no,
I don't like
say that
icy
now.
Realms and fiery pits and elves and orcs and shit. Fuck off, you idiots! Give me a zombie any day. Thank you.
I'm one of those idiots. Thank you very much. I'm a realm person.
Yeah, and I'm
I love
doing
a good
this.
Realm. This is too much. No.
Well, I'm doing this to be. To rattle cages. That's all I'm doing. I want to annoy you freaks. I tell you what's more than likely is if I gave it a good go, I'd probably fucking love it. But like,
yes, it just let
now,
it happen.
Quite,
open yourself.
Quite happy to not be too into it. I like The Walking Dead, and that's enough for me. Thanks.
So you're a zombie wanker. Great.
I'm a zombie wanker. I am a bona fide zombie wanker. I like
so
most things as zombies.
This show should just be called A Zombie Wanker and a Realm Fucker. And that's the...
Yeah.
I don't know
zombie
what that
wanker
was.
And a Realm Fucker. And this is... what was that thing that we were going to do called?
Clickerbait. Clickerbait, that was it. Still coming.
That's
still brewing.
That's zombie shit, isn't it? I mean, that's a zombie story.
It is.
They're
indeed.
Essentially zombies.
Yeah. The Last of Us, for anybody who hasn't listened to that episode, episode it was that we referenced that. But yes.
But the zombie outbreak is in a form of spores, like cordyceps, you know, cordyceps, yeah. Which is that kind of thing that goes into an ant's brain,
yes.
alters how it behaves. It makes it climb up a tree, clamp down on the bark, and then a thing grows out of its head and releases more spores down for the ants.
Oh,
mad
yeah.
stuff, isn't it? And that's what they, and then in The Last of Us, that's what's happened to humans, and that's which is really interesting. There's also a book and a movie called The Girl with All the Gifts, and that's basically they do the same thing in that.
Look at this guy; he's really trying to convince you to become a zombie wanker.
Watch zombie
sorry.
Stuff, mate. I mean, what can I say to you? It's really most of them are really good. Zombievers, that's one. There's one called Dead Snow, which is about zombie Nazis.
Listen up, my realm fuckers, my fellow realm fuckers, don't let this man turn you.
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
carry
go
on. Let's carry on now.
Go and watch Lord of the Rings. Oh, we've got to find a ring. Oh, Gollum, preciouses.
I'm gonna
wizards.
Make you do so many fantasy novels. I'm gonna just make.
Well, I'll ruin it. I'll ruin them all for my pleasure.
Good luck. Good luck.
Yeah.
Trying to ruin a class.
I'm being facetious. Some of them are probably fine. But I just don't like I'm not into that aesthetic of like chainmail and axes and stuff. Like that turns me off. Like The Witcher and fucking, you know, all that.
No, like you can't now go on The Witcher. I will not allow you to.
It's
to,
the same thing.
Oh no!
If there's a thing with a broadsword in it, then I'm turning off now.
I can't
you know
believe
I mean?
This is happening.
I don't care.
This is, before I was joking around. Now I'm genuinely sad.
Well, should I watch? I haven't watched a single Witcher. Maybe, would I like The Witcher, do you think?
The Witcher TV show, it's fine. The Witcher video game, fantastic. Witcher 3,
I gave it a go.
Get
I
on
did
it.
Gave it a go. My friend, I borrowed it. And,
and you didn't
I did
like
play
it.
It for 20 minutes. It was fucking shit, mate.
For 20
Dull.
Minutes? You didn't even get past. The tutorial goes for 2 hours. What are you doing? You've got to get
all
into
right.
the open
well,
world. This is not what the show's about, Howard.
Do you know what it is? There's just a cut. There is a for me, there is a cutoff in my brain that my brain goes, no, when there's too many, like, you know, pointy ears and fucking amulets, I just don't care.
Oh, good Lord.
I just want to see a decomposing corpse eating a human being's face off. That, I'm good with that.
And enough about Howard's love life.
I actually quite liked that. Anyway,
so,
to anyone that likes fantasy and all that stuff, I am being slightly silly, and I don't hate it that much.
We forgive you, Howard.
But as a rule, it's not for me. There you go.
So we will look forward to breaking down a Game of Thrones in about 3 weeks.
Game of Thrones, yeah, got to do it.
Looking forward to it. All right, mate.
Okay,
here we go.
Literal titlets, thanks for listening to this. Really, if you want to talk to us about what we've done here today, then you can find us on Twitter at literal lit pod. That's at capital L literal capital L it capital P odd. You can find us on Instagram at literal literature pod. You can email us literalliterature.podcast@gmail.com is that address. And you'll find me and Sam on the Isle of Skunroba tossing the famous necklace into the fires of Jim Jar as we listen to the elegant panpipes of the Wimble people. That's close to Wombles, wasn't it? The Wombles playing pan. The panpipes of the Wombles on Wimbledon Green. Thanks for listening. Anything to say, Sam?
No. Thank you, everybody. No, thank you very much. And once again, give us a review if you feel like it. Just chuck it out there, wherever. Just, you know, even just type one in an email and send it to your entire contact lists. Even walk down to your local dry cleaner and say, hey, you write want a podcast?
Write it in blood on a wall.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I want.
Write it on paper, sellotape it to a brick, and throw it into somebody's front room.
Well, that's it. That's all I'm going to say. Thank you so much again, everybody, for listening as well. Just thank you. Just all the thanks to all the people.
Thanks,
thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone. And until next time, goodbye, everyone. Da, 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 da.